Welcome to 2020, the era of innovation. The Automation Alliance podcast, brought to you by RapidMation.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Automation Alliance podcast. Today, we're thrilled to have Luke Kelly on today's episode, and Luke has developed a healthy obsession with RPO over the last 5 years. Initially, he established the KPMG Australia's internally focused robotics center of excellence before moving on to the UiPath, where he has recently been promoted to global services director. So, Luke, welcome to the Automation Alliance podcast.
Thanks, Sean. It's a pleasure to join you. I'm very excited.
Yeah, we're very excited to have you. We know you're generally a very busy man, so we really appreciate your time and some of the insights you're going to share with the listeners today. Well, first things first, let's get straight into it, right? So I saw the news on your promotion. So firstly, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really excited. It's the result of a restructure that we've done globally, which really aligns our pre-sales team with our customer success team. Both of those channels or lines of business at UiPath, and the reason that we've done that is that it's kind of the whole customer journey, with the exception of professional services, which kind of goes, you know, into the more sort of post sales environment beyond the customer success piece. So basically, pre sales and customer success work harmoniously, but we've never really been able to nail that transition in some cases, I guess, perhaps. But this plan is really designed to bridge that gap and make sure that we take our customers right from the sales cycle right through into customer success, working, of course, with our partners to make sure that they're as successful as possible. So, it's a really good change. I'm quite excited about it.
And obviously here in the Australian market, we're pretty familiar with, I guess, how people run and operate. But one of the great learnings we can take out of other countries is maybe some learning or golden nuggets that different countries have and kind of their internal mojo, as I always call it, specifically from an automation perspective. So have you picked up on any kind of that local mojo from different markets that you think might be very relevant to people here in Australia?
Well, I think one of the things that we're seeing in the automation space is a huge uptake in interest from our contact center, our clients with big contact centers and operation centers, because of the changes we've made recently with our product in regards to upgrading the attended automation side of things. So, I mean, that's certainly a big growth area here. Certainly, it's already been well and truly tapped into in markets like EMEA and Americas. But that's something that we're really seeing to emerge very interestingly here in ANZ, which is very cool.
Yeah, and interesting you say that, right? I was actually just in a meeting this morning with a customer where we were discussing call centers and kind of how they were going to bring that onshore and actually use attended automations to help out those people in the call centers do more with less, right? So really interesting to see you seeing the same thing on that side.
And there's some repatriation of work going on in some circumstances as well, where COVID-19, you knew it was going to have to come up at some point in this discussion. it's kind of like we're trying to find opportunities to not talk about these days, but it certainly has presented lots of challenges for lots of our clients that are operating offshore of teams and parts of their business. And so the ability to bring some of that work back onshore and to automate it, whether that's contact center or operations, has certainly been something that a lot of our clients have looked at for some time, but are now starting to look at more earnestly.
Yeah, no doubt, right? So I laugh when COVID comes up. So there's only one rule on the podcast: the word unprecedented is bad.
I'll try and avoid that one.
Yeah, no worries. But yeah, funny you say that as well, because we helped a couple of customers in the height of COVID where they had some offshore operations which could no longer function because people weren't in the office in those offshore offices. And obviously what that meant is they couldn't perform the work, which led to a backlog here onshore in Australia. And again, we pretty rapidly got some great automations up and running just to help them out, and actually just use some unattended automations to obviously help out and handle that load. And instead of having to use those people offshore, bring that back onshore. So really, really
interesting. Yeah, you're right. It definitely allows the client to take charge. And I mean, you would never have thought something like this, dancing around that word, would have been possible. But the scale of the impact of this pandemic on businesses has made it, I guess, all the more important for that sort of insulation where possible from offshore limitations and exists. And so I'm sure that we'll see more and more of that coming through as time goes by. Yeah,
no doubt, right? One of the things we often say to our customers and people we speak to is automate, survive, thrive, right? Mm. So really what that means, automate now. When things are a bit crazy out there in the world, it'll allow you to survive and get through these tough times, but then really set you up with a great base to thrive on and move forward on when things pop out the other side.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of our clients traditionally have the dialogue when we've been talking to, as you'll no doubt know yourself, the dialogue has been, yes, that's a great idea. It's something that we should definitely look at, and then proceed with. Nowadays, it's more along the lines of, okay, we really need to do this now. This is not an option for us. We need to look at how we can be more efficient and how we can do more with sometimes less resources. So that's definitely a big part of the push for us at the moment.
Yeah, no doubt, right? And again, I mean, I think it speaks to a lot of the things we chat to customers about as well. And we always say, it's really no longer about if you're going to do this stuff anymore. It's really about when and when mm-hmm. needs to be today to get started on your automation journey.
For sure.
All right, great. Well, let's move across. So last week saw the UiPath Hyper Automation event that was called Automate to Thrive. And it was a really great two-day virtual event, which I was privileged to be a guest panelist on in a session. But I really loved your session on how to evangelize automation, engage across your business, and measure ROI. And it was a really insightful 30-minute session with many golden nuggets that people could take out of it, right? So again, just to summarize that, if you could highlight the key takeaway from your session, what do you think it might be?
Yeah, I was really excited when our marketing lead, Andrea, asked me to do that session, because that's very much what I've done prior to coming into UiPath. As you mentioned, when I kicked off the function at KPMG, evangelizing what automation is, talking to different parts of the business, whether that's in town halls, through newsletters or through marketing material, through screens we had up around the firm, basically just getting it down as many paths as I could across the firm was a big part of my role. And I knew that was going to be really important, because there was a certain natural kind of uncertainty or trepidation when it comes to what is automation, how is it going to change what I do, is it going to displace me? And at the time, this is some time ago, it's probably about 5 years ago, so at the time there was that fear. Now people understand that it's a matter of really augmenting the way that you work rather than replacing you, which is nice. But I understood that was really critical to being able to, make a positive impact in the business. And that was how we're going to be able to scale. So that was certainly a takeaway from last week. But I think the biggest takeaway from the session, and it came up quite a few times, was our automation hub, which is, it's many things, but amongst other things, it's our ideation platform. It's our workflow tool for taking an automation idea or concept or project from idea into implementation. And then with insights and some other data and analytics tools, we can understand exactly how well it's performing. But that was certainly the biggest takeaway, because when clients are talking to us and our partners about what they're going to automate, the biggest question is often, how do I, once they understand sort of the first couple of processes, how do I then capture that? How do I understand the value of my automation program? And Automation Hub is just a brilliant way, as you know, of doing exactly that.
We see a huge enthusiasm for UiPath Automation Hub from many of our customers, right? And funny you say that, because I saw VentureBeat recently called Automation Hub the beating heart of UiPath's suite, right? And I really love that because we kind of have the standard delivery methodology that we call from bright idea to automation champagne. And really exactly that, right? What that bright idea talks to is how we can actually crowdsource and get those ideas from different employees to build up that automation pipeline. And actually, we lay down that automation hub as default for every single one of our customers. And again, if there's anyone out there who wants to have a play or learn a bit more about us, certainly reach out. We'll help you get set up. But as you say, I mean, that automation hub is absolutely key to building up that automation pipeline and getting customers started on that journey.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said before about the evangelizing piece, you know, the crowdsourcing of ideas and the ability that your clients have to just go in and implement Automation Hub and then instantly have a connection between the COE, so the Center of Excellence for Automation, if that's how it's managed in the environment, to every touch point around the organization as well. And with the gamification that Automation Hub has, which is quite cool. Helps to get people engaged and involved in submitting ideas. It's just brilliant change management, and that's kind of why I would say that was, you know, the biggest takeaway from the session last week.
Yeah, really, really good. And in that session as well, right, I guess one of the hot topics at the moment is how you can really scale up your automation program, right? And again, I think the panelists spoke briefly to that as well. Can you share with the audience what the conclusions were from actually being able to scale up your automation program?
Look, I think the biggest thing, and again, this comes back to change management and evangelizing to some extent, but it's the, and I was very lucky to have CIO, CFO, and a person who is in a director role, I believe, but has previously been a CFO before. So these three gentlemen were all C-suite, either now or previously. And they all understood that it's the senior engagement that really helps to get an automation program moving. So whether it's just having that sort of top-down buy-in, whether it's obviously funding is an important part of it, but just a strategic perspective on implementing automation within an organization is also really important as well. That's not to say that the other levels of within the organization are not important, whether it's, you know, right up to the board, whether it's the individual contributors, managers, middle management, they all need to be engaged. But certainly it was a clear message for me hearing these guys talk that from where they sit, they see the value in automation from a strategic perspective, and I think that's just really critical.
Yeah, brilliant, right? And we often talk about that as kind of the top-down approach, right? So when there's kind of company-wide stuff that gets kind of pushed down and these automations get pushed down. But one of the other things we talk about often is kind of the bottom-up approach, right? And what that bottom-up approach refers to is how we can use different people called citizen developers inside an organization to actually build and kind of create their own automations. And really a full end-to-end hyper-automation strategy needs to combine both of those, right? So I'm keen to hear from you. I mean, from that citizen developer side, where people are using a tool from UiPath called UiPath Studio X, which is specifically kind of targeted at these citizen developers, how have you seen the take up on that across APAC? And do you have any insights into kind of other organizations that are really realizing what we call the robot for every person vision?
Yeah, for sure. This is a really exciting and interesting development that's come about since I've been at UiPath. And I couldn't even conceive of it when I was a practitioner back at KPMG. It's a really cool concept though, because what we experienced when I started the Center of Excellence at KPMG was a bottleneck of ideas. At first, it was the ability to tease them out was crazy difficult. But then it was a deluge of ideas. As soon as people started to understand, as soon as that evangelizing was really having effect and getting across the organization, the ideas came at you thick and fast. And now I look back on some of those ideas that came through, and they maybe didn't get the right focus because they were individual to a specific team or even a specific person in some cases. So the citizen developer concept is one robot for every person, as we refer to it as well, is a way of democratizing RPA so it really reaches every person within the organization. Now, the first thing that normally comes to mind with clients when we start to talk about this is, oh, what about the risk? What about the robots taking over and you know, sending information in different places and compromising us? And so therefore, essentially what they're talking about is governance and what controls are in place. One of the best and most, you know, shining examples of this is a client of ours in Singapore, Singtel. Obviously, Singtel own Optus as well, so that's part of the same group. Singtel have done an incredible job of deploying this concept of the citizen developer, and they've been great in partnering with us as we as an organization, really, because globally they were one of our first big clients in this space. And so they partnered with us and worked very closely with us as we developed this program. Now we've built a methodology and execution framework around what we've seen at Singtel. So it's really exciting.
Yeah, awesome. And I connected with a few people inside UiPath because we're running a few of these build-a-bot sessions, right? And what the build-a-bot session is about is kind of getting people inside organizations, teaching them a little bit about these UiPath Studio X or citizen developer type tools, and seeing if they have an interest in it. And then obviously going through and taking those processes and eventually getting them up and running, right? So we're running it with a few customers across insurance or kind of utilities and the like. But one of the success stories I saw is a gentleman by the name of Callum, who actually got a really amazing finance process up and running. And again, in that organization, one of the hesitancies was around the governance piece. And again, I think the great thing about some of the UiPath tooling is now all of that governance and control is all kind of baked into the box. So you can kind of let your citizen developers go, but you can still have the peace of mind that there's all that governance around it before it actually gets pushed out to your organization.
Yeah, absolutely. And whether it's the generating machine templates or the way that it's installed using batch files, using the workflow analyzer to make sure that you're ticking every box and that your code development is actually where it should be. No matter what it is, whatever part of the execution, citizen developer execution methodology it is that we're talking about, these are all the sorts of things that really give a client peace of mind that the citizen developer is going to be creating the best possible product. And of course, the idea with Studio X is it's kind of like a simpler version of Studio. So you can do, and it's increasing in its capability with every release. But essentially, you can create an automation workflow in Studio X and then promote it to your COE. You can just send the package to the COE, and then they can trick it up and do more with it with the power of the full studio.
Yeah, beautiful. Right? It's great. It's going to be great to follow that over the coming days, weeks, and months and see how widely adopted that gets and how we work towards that vision of a robot for every person.
Absolutely.
All right, well, let's switch across and let's look into the future for a little bit, right? So I saw that UiPath commissioned a Forrester piece of research on the pandemic's impact on the uptake of automation, right? And that study was titled The Future of Work at Pandemic Spotlight, and it explored how organizations are shifting their priorities and mindsets to maximize automation's potential and propel their companies into the workplace of the future, right? So some of the key findings were that 48% of the respondents expect to see an increase in RPA spend over the next year, which is really interesting. And I think that validates kind of some of the things we've already spoken about, and that it's not about if, it's really about when. The findings also shone a spotlight on the need for reskilling and upskilling opportunities, right? And that's obviously to, again, speak to some of the things we've been talking about these citizen developers and how they can actually thrive in the workplace of the future. And then there was 57% of the respondents say that employees were moderately or very anxious about the impact of automation and the crisis on their ability to succeed in their jobs, right? So with those three things in mind, right, let's dream a little and Luke, tell us a little bit about what you see as the workplace of the future and what is the future-ready workforce?
Look, I don't think, of course, I mean, you're asking me, right, but I don't think it's as scary as some people tend to think it might be. What we're seeing, and this is automation is nothing new in terms of, you know, it's been around for 20, 25 years. It's certainly got a new guise with a title like robotic process automation or intelligent automation, but it's essentially automation. And as I said, it's nothing new. I don't think it's anything that people need to be concerned about. What it actually can do for people is help to unlock their potential. And that sounds like a marketing line, but it's actually real. We are obviously very big users of UiPath here at UiPath. And whether it's one of my team this week said to me, who's just one of my customer success managers, was compiling a bunch of customer success reports. And I asked him if he could get them all done. I didn't expect them all to be done within the week. I just wanted to go through one or two of them with him next time we caught up. I checked the folder, they were all done. And I messaged him on Slack and I said, thank you, this is fantastic. But how did you do this? He said, I automated it. We use a tool called Gainsight. He said, I use Gainsight. I got some spreadsheets, I set up a template, and then I ran it. And it's that sort of augmenting of his role that is, I think, the really exciting opportunity that we're looking at with tools like UiPath, to take something that he wasn't looking forward to, and I knew that he wasn't going to be looking forward to doing it because it's fairly administrative, to take something that he didn't want to necessarily spend a lot of time on and not spend a lot of time on it, and then over deliver for me and knock my socks off. It's pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, no doubt, right? And it really goes back to that concept that I always say to people, and automation's really about people, right? People are at the heart of everything. And if we can help our people do more with less, it's going to lead to some amazing outcomes for everyone involved.
Absolutely, yeah. I think the feelings of, the report, as you said, it mentioned that there was a certain amount of anxiety and concern, but I think that the times that we're living in right now are, that's going to be the impact on people, no matter what your role is, and irrespective of automation or not, people are feeling nervous and uncertain about what's around the corner, and I think one thing that we can do at UiPath is reassure people that what we're attempting to do with every new engagement that we have is really to make their working life easier, and so. Hopefully that message is going to get through, and hopefully we start to turn a corner.
Yeah, exciting times, that's for sure. Mm. All right, let's shift gears a little bit more. And I want to chat about the incredible platform enhancements that UiPath have been delivering, right? So one of the things that I personally absolutely love about working so closely with the UiPath team is the unbelievable speed at which you guys release new technology that has significant impact for your customers. So let's chat through a few of these recent enhancements. And why don't we start with something called AI Fabric? Now, many of the listeners may not be familiar or may have heard about UiPath AI Fabric. So could you explain what it is and what it can actually help you do?
Sure. This was actually, you're going to have to cut me off here if we talk about this for too long, because this is the subject of a webinar that I was sitting on a panel for a couple of weeks ago, and it was the only subject. So there's a lot to unpack here, but let me try and simplify it. Automation is, I look at automation in terms of being the foundational element of the intelligent automation stack, if you like. So RPA is at the base, and then the next layer is, say, virtual agents and chatbots, and the next layer above that is artificial intelligence, and it goes up. So, but how do you connect those two things? Either you're a data scientist and you've got the skills and abilities to work with Python scripts, or you're an RPA developer and you might have a very sort of good technical development background, but a lot of the time those two skill sets exist independently of one another. And also the more that we democratize RPA, the more business users start to pick up what is essentially a very easy to use tool like UiPath. Now, those business users almost certainly don't have deep sort of cognitive automation backgrounds or data scientist backgrounds. And so what AI Fabric does is it allows the RPA developer to pull in things like Python scripts, cognitive automation, essentially, that will really unlock the power of an automated process. And that's it with a click and drag and drop function. So it really, really helps with that democratization piece. And as I said, it unlocks the power of what you can do with your automation workflows.
Yeah, 100% right. And actually, I was just watching a really great demo on it, right? And I think the scenario was around email classification, right? Which is one that comes up very, mm-hmm. very common when we're speaking to customers. And even this morning, I was chatting to a customer that receives in excess of 1 million emails a year. And really what they wanted to do was be able to obviously pick up what the intent was about that in that specific email, and then go and do something automatically with that email. And I think the scenario I was watching was around how you could do customer email classification and how very easily UiPath AI Fabric could actually allow you to involve some of those models and classify some of those emails very easily without understanding a thing about the artificial intelligence behind them.
Absolutely. And where it can work really nicely is where you might have a data scientist in your organization and you have a team of RPA developers as well. And they can work collectively without necessarily having to cross over. So they can collaborate on the design. And when it comes to actually building the workflow, the script is just ingested as an activity into the studio. And as I said, clicked and dragged into the workflow. So it really makes things much simpler and faster. And also, you can build up a library of reusable assets in terms of your Python scripts, as I said, for example. So it really does unlock a lot of that, a lot of those possibilities that previously would have been too hard basket for an RPA developer.
Yeah, amazing, right? So, okay, great. So let's move across to something called UiPath Document Understanding, right? So just to set a bit of a scene for that. So 90% of an organizer's data is generally unstructured, right? Which means that it's locked up in images, videos, text, PDFs, handwritten documents, and so on, right? And obviously what that means is it's very difficult to use this data to firstly make smart business decisions and to do that in a timely manner. So again, for any of the listeners who may not be familiar with what UiPath Document Understanding is and what it can do, can you talk us through that?
Yeah, sure. So I guess Document Understanding, interesting that you should segue from AI Fabric into Document Understanding, because Document Understanding can operate in a couple of ways. With fairly straightforward document processing, you don't need to incorporate any sort of AI fabric or artificial intelligence at all. But where most of our clients are looking is for the more complex problems, where there are machine learning models required to actually understand and distinguish between contexts and different formats. So where Document Understanding is, the power is really unleashed, is where you're combining it with AI fabric. And introducing machine learning models, which you can train to understand the different variations between, say, invoices, bank statements, and receipts, you know, different documents that come in a variety of, as you say, unstructured formats.
Yeah, beautiful, right? And I know we do a lot in kind of what we call the ICR and OCR space, which stands for Intelligent Character Recognition and Optical Character Recognition. And yeah, we do heaps and heaps and heaps of use case in that space. And certainly Document Understanding is excellent to be able to do things like invoices or receipts or purchase orders or utility bills or anything in between and really get value out of that data.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're seeing a lot of interest in this product as this quarter goes on, particularly, and I'm really excited about where it's going to be headed for us as well.
Brilliant. Okay, so just finally then, so let's talk about the progress that's been happening around the testing capabilities, right? So recently we saw the much anticipated announcement that UiPath Test Manager is now officially generally available, which completes the UiPath Test Suite, right? So talk to us a little bit about what is the UiPath Test Suite and what is the problem that it solves?
Sure. So we're really excited about, and I don't want to boast, but we did have the first AI Fabric sale in the world for UiPath here in Australia. That was Heritage Bank in Queensland. And our first Test Suite sale, I don't think I can mention the client just yet, but the first Test Suite sale globally was here in WA as well. So We're really, really excited about that. That's quite cool for a little old country like Australia. But Test Suite is essentially, this is something that I could have only dreamed of when I was a practitioner back at KPMG. That was back in the days where all we had pretty much was our core platform, Studio Orchestrator Robots. That was pretty much all that there was to offer. And now with the hyper automation narrative, we've got so much more, including Test Suite. So our clients for the longest time have had the need for understanding the performance of their the various workflows that they generate and the performance of those in production, and then all the way through from development up to production actually. But they haven't had a tool to actually test those automations. So what Test Suite does is actually produces a framework and the technology and the robots themselves, which will assist in running test cases to test out the different processes that have been developed. So essentially that's it in a nutshell, but also the power of Test Suite extends beyond just testing RPA workflows to testing any software whatsoever. So it's actually quite a powerful tool.
Yeah, it's actually amazing, right? And the team and I have spent a long time going through all the features and functionalities and capabilities of the suite, and we're extremely excited by putting that to practice in some of our customers and showing them the amazing capabilities of that Test Suite product.
Absolutely.
Luke, I think that's been awesome, right? We really appreciate your time. But just before we leave for today, do you have any final parting thoughts or comments that you'd like to leave the listeners with?
Look, not really. I mean, I'm very excited about you know, the future, about what I guess the whole narrative, as I said, the hyper automation narrative holds for not just ourselves as the vendor, but our partners and our clients as well. Because with everything from, you know, discovery tools, you know, task capture and process mining, right through to the core platform that I said, things we've been talking about like AI Fabric and Document Understanding, the emergence, the very strong emergence of attended automation, our apps technology, our chatbots. there's just so much, and it's difficult to keep up with it some of it all the time, but it's very exciting because it means that we'll really be able to unlock the power of all of our clients' best resource, which is their people.
Yeah. What a great way to end this edition of the podcast, right? Automation is all about people and how we can help our people do more with less.
Absolutely.
Luke, thanks you once again for your time and your amazing insights, and we look forward to catching up with you soon.
Thanks, Sean.
Be part of the community and join the Automation Alliance at www.automationalliance.com.